Hi, this is Rivka.
And this is Simi. So, let's jump right into it. A question that comes to mind, I'm sure in a lot of people's minds, are we have God in the Torah. Clearly, he's one of the characters that appears quite a bit. Why is it male?
Why is he male?
So I'm already falling into some sort of trap with ascribing attributes to God, but we do refer to God in the male, don't we?
Baruch atah. We don't have to go further than that, of course.
Why? Elaborate that.
Exclusively refer to as God as male, except for the Shekhinah Boikala being female.
So I'm asking the question, which is, why is God in the male? God is always referred to as a male in terms of the language of the Torah. We don't call him a zohar or anything like that, a male,
We stay far away from ascribing any sort of image to him.
But we do refer to him in the male.
Correct. So what's the question?
Why?
Okay. So this is, my head is exploding with potential ways to answer this question, but let's start at the beginning and give a very short synopsis of what would be a larger series of classes, I suppose. But let's start at the beginning. What's Judaism's view of gender? So surprisingly enough, in the more mystical sources, like the Maharal and definitely Kabbalistic sources, gender is a very relational term. Any person in any sort of action or relationship is in one or the other of a gender, in a mode of a gender. So you can call male and female as like two energies, and you're always in one or the other.
What do you mean in one?
Right. So you having a male body and me having a female body is one of the manifestations of the male and female energy. Happens to be a very good analogy of what the male and female dynamic is. So let me explain what the male and female dynamic is. Then you'll see how your body and my body is a very good analogy for it. But you'll also see how you engaging in your day-to-day tasks are constantly shifting between these two energies. And after that, we'll kind of circle back to your question and answer.
Of why Hashem is male.
Exactly. Okay. So male, female in a nutshell.
Well, can I just stress again that is a really big deal. I mean, why? I just want to really hit the question home. God being in the male, God is supposed to be the most universal and it's
all-encompassing.
And it's male. I mean, that's quite a hard thing to swallow.
And if you are more of a feminist at heart, this might even be offensive to you.
All right, on that, I just wanted to make sure we gave the question its due.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so the male energy is known as ultimate potential, instantaneous, exciting, completely in the potential, an idea. That first spark of an idea, that you know, you're going to build something and you have all these hundreds of ideas in your mind and it's exciting and it's so exhilarating. That's the male force. A relationship, in the beginning of a relationship, when it's infatuation and you think the person's perfect and they think you're perfect, that's the male force. The creation of a child, that first spark, that's the male force. What do all these things have in common? They're pure potential. Nothing's on the ground yet. They're exciting. They're instantaneous.
What do you mean nothing's on the ground yet?
Well, the female force is taking that potential, taking the idea, taking the potential for the child, taking the infatuation, and making an actual on-the-ground thing that will last. So out of the infatuation, working at it, and making a relationship. When you no longer think that the other person's a god, you know that they're a person with flaws, but you're going to work on the relationship. An idea, you actually go through the paperwork and limit it and plow at it and the graft, and then you come out with your project. Or pregnancy, when you're actually staying with it and you enter into a process and you come out with a child. So just to recap, the male force is active, bestowing, conquering, infinite, potential, exciting. And the female is slower, it's often more painful, it's limiting. Because it's painful to leave behind some ideas and only choose one. It's limiting to leave behind the fact that your significant other isn't a hero and work on the relationship. But at the end, you'll come out with something real on the ground.
So if I would recap this, or I would try and say it, you're saying that the male I suppose you could put it in the positive and the negative. The positive about the male is that it's infinite potential. The negative, or the painful aspect of it, is that it doesn't amount to anything. The positive part about your female energy is that not yours, I mean yours as in what you're describing now, your female energy, the positive, it actually makes something. The negative side is that it kills a lot in its process.
Correct. You know, you could look back at the ideas that you never tried, or the that honeymoon period, and you could look back wistfully. You'd be like, oh, everything was so wonderful then, or oh, all those ideas were so great. But then you have to look at what you have, and I know it feels a bit sobering because it's all so real, but that's when things are actually real. If you wanted to stay in the honeymoon period, or if you wanted to stay in that idea period, that's what happens when you can't commit. And that's what happens when you have 100 different half-finished puzzles and projects on your shelf because you're never able to finish anything.
And no relationship in now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So in terms of the Jewish words from this, it's called Nosein and Mekabel, the giver, the bestower, and the receiver. So you have all this potential, and then you have the one that is the vessel for it. It's receiving the potential and making something for it. And funnily enough, interestingly enough, you say Mother Nature. So the earth is female. It takes the seed, and it doesn't do anything. It sits with it. It nurtures it and grows, and then things grow from it. So now you can see how this male and this female is a relational thing. How, yes, your body is definitely geared to male and my body is definitely geared to female. But in your day, you engage multiple times on a male level and multiple times on a female level. You wake up in the morning and you go learn. You go learn the Talmud. You're a Talmud Chacham. You're a receiver of wisdom. That's female. You're taking the wisdom and you're incorporating it into your life. That's female. You're not creating potential there. However, afterwards you're teaching. That's being male. And the students are female. You're giving them instruction. You're giving them inspiration. And hopefully they'll let it percolate through their brains and make something from it. They're then the female. And me, when I'm with the kids, I am very much male. I'm disciplining them. I'm encouraging them. That's all male. And they're hopefully taking that into their psyche. But when I'm learning or I'm developing something, I'm going to be female. Right?
Okay. So you're saying how it manifests in daily life, the symbolic construct, which is the male and the female, or maybe not, you'd perhaps say it's predicated on something deeper, but these symbolic ideas play throughout our lives.
Yes. And at any given time. Right now, I'm telling you an idea. That is the male. You're trying to understand it and incorporate it into your life. That's female. Okay?
Okay, now let's bring God into the picture.
Okay, great. So from our point of view, when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, okay, the first commandment they got was?
Kiddush HaChodesh, the moon. Right,
the new moon, okay? So look at us being symbolized by the moon. We always are. The Jewish people are have a symbol in the sky called the moon, not the sun, the moon. Why? Well, so a lot of people say because it waxes and wanes, and just like the Jewish people, sometimes we're strong, sometimes we're weak, but we never go away. Okay, great. Another thing is that the moon receives its light, doesn't generate light. The sun generates light, the moon receives its light and spreads it out into the darkness. So the moon is in the sky, the first receiver, the female. The moon has always been connected to the female also because of the cycles, right? The Jews are the ultimate female in connection to God. Because think about it this way. God is the ultimate potential giver, the ultimate male. He gives us our life. He gives us our breath. He gives us our soul, which is just basically a lot of zeros, a lot of potential. And then we need to put that one in front of it. And hopefully with our 89 years of our life, we're able to be, quote unquote, pregnant with our soul as the female, work on it, and then hopefully give it back to him as a shining thing of substance.
That's been worked on. So maybe let me say, so from what I've understood, you've developed these two concepts, the male and the female, and you show how they
interact,
reveal themselves in our lives, both yes, on the relationship level, the biological level, and it plays itself out. You moved into the Jewish people, and in this week's parash, we have the whole first commandment, which is Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the moon.
Yes.
You're saying the Jewish people are always referred to as the moon, not only because of the waxing, waning, etc., but also the receiving aspect. We are the female to God's maleness, which is the sun.
Yes, so God would be represented by the sun. Not that we worship the sun. Well, Relax yourself, guys.
I was actually going to say it's actually quite cool because the Egyptians did worship the sun. Ra was the sun god.
Right. We're not. This is symbolic.
Okay,
not,
fine.
Not to be confused. But we receive the light and then we share it in the darkness, which would be like be a light unto the nations, right?
Oh, wow. That metaphor is quite cool. You're saying
the world then being the dark night and us being trying to shine.
But that would be the moon being the male in this contract.
Right. Just like a woman receiving the sperm cells from the male, having the baby, but then being male onto the baby and impressing her discipline and encouragement onto the baby. So she is both.
It's a dynamic relationship.
It's always relational. You learn from your teacher, you're female. You're teaching your students, you're male.
Okay.
Right?
So to sum it up, how would you answer the question?
Yeah, so basically the Bnei Yisrael is the ultimate female to God being the ultimate male. So when we're in the Siddur and we say Baruch Atah, as in God is male, we're not saying that he is a man with the biology of that. We're simply saying that God is the ultimate potential giver to our receiving. We're just underlining our relationship to him. Men and women are female to God's male.
Okay, in which case then, okay, that's cool. But then what about the feminine descriptions of God?
Oh, very good. So the only time we speak to about God as the feminine is Boi Kala on Shabbat. And that is, okay, it's for a different time. But that's a really cool discussion how we are, quote unquote, allowed to then be the one to bring Shabbos in, to influence it, to get married to Shabbos as the Jewish people. And the cool part here is that to create a relationship, you and me, for example, if one of us, not just biology, but if one of us was always the giver and the other one was always the receiver, that wouldn't create a really strong relationship. And you see that often. One of them is like, oh, I just gave, and the other one just takes. The one who takes walks away because there's no binding there. However, if each of them gets a chance to give and to receive, that creates like a fusion because both of them feel necessary and both of them feel valued. So God lets us give back to him and lets us be male back to him. Like, think about a blessing. You're blessing God, right? So sometimes God is the female for, let's say, on Shabbat, and that's like a marriage, which is a beautiful thing to create that relationship with him.
Wow. All right, great. I think that
sums it up, right?
Have a lovely week.
Have a lovely week.